Today is the 28th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is really wonderful to have this opportunity to be together again. What a joy that we have like an opportunity every day to gather here in a little place that we create for each other every day that we lovingly call the Global Campfire. I'm grateful to be here with you today, taking another step forward on the grand adventure of a lifetime through the Bible and through a year together. So we are continuing our journey through the book of 2 Chronicles and the stories of the kings of ancient Israel. Today, 2 Chronicles chapters 21, 22, and 23. Then Jehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. Jehoram's brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, were Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azarihu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father had given them many gifts of silver and gold and articles of value, as well as fortified cities in Judah. But he had given the kingdom to Jehoram because he was his firstborn son. When Jehoram established himself firmly over his father's kingdom, he put all his brothers to the sword, along with some of the officials of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for he married a daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, because of the covenant the Lord had made with David, the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David. He had promised to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants forever. In the time of Jehoram, Edom rebelled against Judah and set up its own king. So Jehoram went there with his officers and all his chariots. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he rose up and broke through by night. To this day, Edom has been in rebellion against Judah. Libna revolted at the same time, because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He had also put high places on the hills of Judah and had caused the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves and had led Judah astray. Jehoram received a letter from Elijah the prophet which read, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. You have not followed the ways of your father Jehoshaphat or of Asa, king of Judah, but you have followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and you have led Judah and the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, just as the house of Ahab did. You have also murdered your own brothers, members of your own family, men who were better than you. So now the Lord is about to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and everything that is yours with a heavy blow. You yourself will be very ill with a lingering disease of the bowels until the disease causes your bowels to come out." The Lord aroused against Jehoram the hostility of the Philistines and of the Arabs who lived near the Cushites. They attacked Judah, invaded it, and carried off all the goods found in the king's palace, together with his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him except Ahaziah, the youngest. After all this, the Lord afflicted Jehoram with an incurable disease of the bowels. In the course of time, at the end of the second year, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great pain. His people made no funeral fire in his honor as they had for his predecessors. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. The people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, Jehoram's youngest son, king in his place, since the raiders who came with the Arabs into the camps had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He too followed the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him to act wickedly. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after his father's death, they became his advisors to his undoing. He also followed their counsel when he went with Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. The Arameans wounded Joram, so he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds they had inflicted on him at Ramoth in his battle with Hazael, king of Aram. Then Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to Jezreel to see Joram, son of Ahab, because he had been wounded. Through Ahaziah's visit to Joram, God brought about Ahaziah's downfall. When Ahaziah arrived, he went out with Joram to meet Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. While Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the officials of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's relatives, who had been attending Ahaziah, and he killed them. He then went in search of Ahaziah, and his men captured him while he was hiding in Samaria. He was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him, for they said he was a son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah powerful enough to retain the kingdom. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom, because Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, and wife of the priest Jehoiada, was Ahaziah's sister. She hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him. He remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada showed his strength. He made a covenant with the commanders of units of 100. Azariah, son of Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zikri. They went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites and the heads of Israelite families from all the towns. When they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, "The king's son shall reign, as the Lord promised concerning the descendants of David. Now this is what you are to do. A third of you priests and Levites who are going on duty on the Sabbath are to keep watch at the doors, a third of you at the royal palace, and a third at the foundation gates, and all the others are to be in the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. No one is to enter the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites on duty. They may enter because they are consecrated, but all the others are to observe the Lord's command not to enter. The Levites are to station themselves around the king, each with weapon in hand. Anyone who enters the temple is to be put to death. stay close to the king wherever he goes. The Levites and all the men of Judah did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, for Jehoiada the priest had not released any of the divisions. Then he gave the commanders of units of 100 the spears and the large and small shields that had belonged to King David and that were in the temple of God. He stationed all the men, each with his weapon in his hand, around the king, near the altar and the temple, from the south side to the north side of the temple. Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. They presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and cheering the king, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. And musicians with their instruments were leading the praises. Then Athaliah tore her robes and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest sent out the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks and put to the sword anyone who follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not put her to death at the temple of the Lord." So they seized her as she reached the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and there they put her to death. Jehoiada then made a covenant that he, the people, and the king would be the Lord's people. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and idols and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the Levitical priests, to whom David had made assignments in the temple, to present the burnt offerings of the Lord as written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as David had ordered. He also stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple so that no one who was in any way unclean might enter. He took with him the commanders of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the temple of the Lord. They went into the palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was calm because Athaliah had been slain with the sword. Romans 11:13-36. I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive roots, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this: you do not support the roots, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 22, 1 through 18. For the director of music, to the tune of The Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Proverbs 20:7. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Okay, my God, the psalm said today. God, why? The psalm said today, why have you abandoned me? That's straight out of the Bible. Why? Why, God, are you so far away when I am groaning for your help? Every day I call to you, but you don't answer. Every night I lift my voice. I can't sleep, but I can't find relief. Wow. So if that ancient cry of the heart has any kind of resonance with your own heart or your own experience, whether a past experience or your present reality, then understand that is in the Bible. You're not doing something wrong by feeling that way. Take heart. You're not the only one. David penned this, and he was the king. And so even kings can feel anxiety and depression at times. And David, we know from the scriptures, was a skillful musician and songwriter, a poet. He often used music as a way to express and release, like to regulate his nervous system by expressing the way he was feeling through song. So Psalm 22, it does not have this pretty bow on it. It doesn't tie it all off in a nice, neat bundle. It just captures it. It captures it raw in the moment. The emotion of what was coming out of David's heart. The emotional upheaval of what was happening in his mind. When we're facing these kinds of things, it's kind of a custom, especially among like modern Christians, to suppress to actually stuff that stuff down and pretend it's not happening and cover it over, often with some like counter scripture, something hopeful. Or we'll turn to other things. Maybe we'll turn to comfort food. Maybe we'll turn to television or movies or entertainment. Maybe we'll turn to hookups. Maybe we turn to engaging with people we have no business engaging with at all, to feel some kind of relief from what is actually happening inside of us so that we do not have to face it, deal with it, and change it. David chose to use music to name how he was feeling. There is incredible validation in that right there, an amazing power in it. When we can name something, then we can see it clearly. Instead of just suppressing and running from it to some other false comforter or false intimacy, when we can name it, we force it into the light. When we cover it in distractions, our struggles just keep building and building and building inside of us until there's so much going on that it cannot be pulled apart and it cannot be identified. Turns into this big ball of anxiety that lives in our belly, churning over and over and leading us further and further into the fog and further into places we should not go. I guess we probably can all identify with that in some way. I know that's the truth. We all know that's the truth. And so maybe this is in the Bible, certainly to give language to those emotions, to validate those emotions as real things. Well, maybe also as an example, write down what is heavy in your life. If you're a musician, maybe you use music. Maybe that's the only way you can regulate too. There's definitely been seasons in my life that that was true. Even before I could even understand the terminology of what I was doing. So name the things for what they are and do not shy away from honesty in some sort of religious way that makes you suppress what's real. David wasn't doing that. It's in the Bible. The Bible isn't doing that. The Bible doesn't do that. It gives us plenty of comfort and plenty of counsel for where to turn the posture of our heart when we're suffering. But it's not shying away to deny it. Today, David wrote, You brought me safely from my mother's womb, and you led me to trust you at her breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me. Trouble is everywhere. Nobody else can help me. And I resonate with those words. I have felt that way in my life. You probably have too. It doesn't get more honest than that. And that is just a quotation from the Bible. So if this is a difficult patch, if this part of your story is like flattening you, crushing you. If you are in disbelief, or if you are in anguish, if you are in deep depression and cannot find your way to the surface, like, what we're learning here isn't going to fix all of that, but it's a move. And we have to move. Be honest. Exactly honest. True about it. Name what is truly happening. Follow the trail to its origination point. What is connected to what? Write it down. See it for what it is. And then bring it to God, as was modeled for us in the Bible today, from the book of Psalms, chapter 22. You might think we're not supposed to feel this way because God is with us. David was known to be a friend of God. He was a friend of God when he wrote this. He wrote it to God. God wants your honesty a lot more than your fake intimacy and distraction. God wants your honesty a lot more than he wants what is false and suppressing what is true. The distractions don't fix anything. They can defer things, but they lead to destruction outright. So if overwhelmed is a word that resonates, if helpless, powerless, hopeless, if anxious, if depressed, if suffering, the words that resonate, then name them. Name the feelings. Write them down. Turn them into gifts of worship, which is not to suppress anything. It's to take it to God. We have this idea that worship is a victory chant. Worship is some way to whip ourselves emotionally into suppressing the things that are really going on inside of us, because our God is bigger than all of that, and he is. We think worship is for the high times, or to make ourselves high. As we'll see as we continue through the Bible, and as we must have noticed by now, that isn't all that life is. And worship is for the lowest of low times, when nobody but God could possibly understand. We could find God in our honesty. And we may find relief in being able to name what is really going on in our hearts with the one who truly understands our hearts. So, Father, so many of us are broken. All of us are broken, but so many of us feel the weight daily of that brokenness because of regret or because of what has been done that has broken us, or because of our own choices that have broken others that we love, or simply because we've navigated into circumstances that there's no way out of. We've gotten enmeshed or entangled in things that we should have never gotten into, and we can't find a way out without staying false or without destroying so much. There's nowhere to go but to you. So we come to you. Cry out for the Comforter. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. One's on the web, one's in the App Store. That is home base. That is definitely where to get connected, where to find out what's going on around here. And so be sure to do that. It is our 20th year, as we all know by now. And so we're kind of winding down on the 20th time through the month of July. The 20th, 28th is where we are right now. We've been celebrating. One of the ways that we've been celebrating is with new music. So just want to remind you that that is available. Encourage you to put that in your playlist and celebrate along with us as we continue to share our story. We'll be bringing something new here in the next week. But we released Jill's song, I Found Grace, and we talked all about that. We released Ezekiel's song, When the Bow Breaks. And we talked all about that. And then I released my song, Love Will Not Care. And we talked all about that. And sharing from our lives, just trying to share like the story before the story. Because Jill and I have been doing a lot of work. Just a ton of work for the last couple of years. Really reflecting, deepening, just working through everything that has been to be 20 years in ministry when there was no plan for that ever to be like it was would have been the last thing we would have ever imagined. And so as rich and deep as the fruit is, it has been a sacrifice and it has really, really changed our lives. So we've been looking back at the music because that's who we were before all this. We were music people making a living in the music industry. And looking back at the music that we were making before Daily Audio Bible came along. And we just went back into the studio, went back to our roots, started over on some of these songs. Just from the ground up, redid them. Because they were meaningful to us and we still thought they kind of stood the test of time. So just look for Jill Harden or Brian Harden or Ezekiel Harden, and you can find the songs wherever you stream music or the videos wherever you watch it. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. Thank you profoundly, humbly, deeply. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. Other than to tell you the truth, I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Selah. I would like prayer for my relationship with my parents. I'm 22 and I've been living with them extra long and not moving out because I've been recovering from a concussion for quite a while. And some parts of my relationship with my parents are just really hard and, even painful some parts. And I want to, forgive them. And I also just want to have a good relationship with them and make peace. And I often feel like I just don't know what to do. And I want to be able to have a good relationship with them, like for the rest of my life, even after I move out. So thank you very much. Bye.
Hello, everybody. I go by East Coast Adventurer. I've called a couple times before, the most recent time at the end of 2024, where I called requesting prayer about a graduate class I was taking. I am very glad to share that since that time, this graduate program has been completed in full as of about 2 weeks ago, which has been a major cause for celebration and giving praise to God. I'm calling in again to request prayer. To make a long story short, the past few years of life as a full-time teacher and attending to a graduate program full-time has consumed most of my life, and I have experienced a lot of loneliness and have been feeling some pain from just disconnect from people. I very much long for connection, specifically with a friend group, a godly group of friends that are around the same age that I can share life with and, yeah, just navigate life with, figuring it out with them. I just wanted to call and request prayer for a friend group to be able to connect with, to relate with, to grow with. So I just thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your time listening and for everyone who calls in each day to request prayer and to share encouragement. Thank you all. Bye.
Hi, it's Heather from Tennessee. I'm calling on July 24th. I just finished the daily audio Bible reading for today. And I just, I heard a woman, longtime listener, her son is Joshua, and he's just dealing with a lot of life issues. And I just, I'm going to pray for him right now. Oh Lord, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for protecting us. I pray right now for Joshua, and I pray, Lord, that you just give him strength and courage to get through these life issues. Lord, we all have them, and we hurt so badly for our children. We want them to see the light. We want them to see your love. We want them to see that there is hope, and it's all going to be okay. And I just pray for this mom who's just crying out to you, who just needs encouragement. Lord, give her, Lord, I just pray that you just give her encouragement. Allow her to see as she's reading your word, as she's listening, as you know, that something good will come and she'll feel encouraged. Lord, I just pray that you just heal this situation. I believe Stephen called from Idaho, and his father is having some health issues. I pray for him as well, Lord, that you just protect him and bring him good health, help him to do things that are good for him, so that he feels better, and help Stephen to know what he needs to do as a son. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Dad family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I wanted to pray for the longtime listener that called in asking for prayer for her son, Joshua. Father God, we just lift up this sweet sister to you. She's crying out for prayer for her son, Joshua. Lord, I just pray that you would send forth your spirit of comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. Wrap them both up in your wings, Lord God. Lord, give Joshua direction so that he could thrive in this world, Lord God. And most importantly, if he doesn't know you, Lord God, reveal yourself to him in a mighty way so that he would know you there. We rebuke that spirit of depression in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua. And we just ask you, Lord, to just send forth your angels just to protect this family and show them your love and that you are there. We just pray all this in Jesus' mighty, matchless name, in Yeshua's name. And we thank you in advance for the things that you're doing in Joshua's life and his mother's life. Hallelujah.